practice early with a left calf spasm. Right now he's listed as questionable, but he's feeling much better today, obviously, after the injury. Everybody else, Ertz, Maragos, Matthews, McKelvin, Isaac, are all good. Yeah.
With the spasm, is it just, how does a spasm work, I guess? Does it just come up?
Good question. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't dive into the medical part of it. A lot of times it's a knot. It can feel like a knot that kind of just locks up on you in there. But as I mentioned, it definitely feels better. We are going to hold him from practice today just so that he can get rest on it, and we'll evaluate him again tomorrow and then Sunday as well.
Doug, what have you seen from the team coming off the bye week in terms of focus, energy,
those guys? I think they've really handled it well this week. Energy has been great all week long at practice, been very spirited, which you love to see coming off the bye. We actually had that workout on Monday was good to see them come back and be focused. And I think they understand that this is still a long season. They're excited, obviously, for where we are, but by no means are they satisfied with just being 3-0. The goal, obviously, is to win the next game. And we just take it one game at a time, but it's been a good week. I think the number one thing is, he's allowed his players and coaches to kind of get away from the building, get away from football, sort of kind of what you do after OTAs. You kind of get away so you can get fresh for training camp. It's kind of that same mentality. Get away, get rested, heal. Guys that are injured, you can get healthy that week. As coaches, we can obviously do our self-evaluations, offensively, defensively, and special teams. But I think the biggest thing, and what I kind of took away from Coach every year being with him, was just the consistency of how he approached this week was no different than the Pittsburgh week or the Monday night week, and just staying consistent. We didn't reinvent the offense or defense. We just stuck to our guns, stuck to what's working, and we've had a lot of success, or he's had a lot of success just doing that.
What has been the benefit of having Chase and now Aaron in the quarterback room in terms of what you're getting, what they'll be, how they'll be with now Carson?
It's been very valuable to Carson, obviously. Chase has been through this now with Alex Smith for 3 years. He was with Drew Brees, obviously, in New Orleans. And the one thing that Chase really prides himself on is just understanding our opponent. And he does it through film study. And this is what I've seen these first few weeks with Carson and really Aaron. Aaron is still kind of learning the game and learning how to study as well, but he was also a part of it with us there in Kansas City. And it's valuable to have a backup quarterback, and obviously I know the role, very well, to be prepared like a starter, but yet at the same time you're there to assist the starter and be another set of eyes for him on the field is beneficial. And that's what Chase has done, and besides teaching him how to study and what to study and what to look for.
The Lions have quite a few guys who may or may not play. Does it take a little bit more as far as preparation, looking at some of the guys who are backups who might end up playing that type of thing?
Yeah, you could dive back into some preseason games and just watch those guys on tape, and we don't put a lot of. I just don't put a lot of energy and thought into who's playing, who's not. I mean, we still have to get prepared and take care of our own. And I know they feel the same way. Whoever we line up, they're going to play against, and whoever they line up, we're going to play against. So, you have to go back though and just take a peek at some of those earlier games to see exactly how that person handles that defense.
Go back to Chase for a minute. Do you almost kind of view him as?
I do on the football field. I mean, that's something that I've seen especially when I can't be over there or they're with Frank and John and they're all kind of huddled up between periods of practice. They're constantly dialoguing and Chase has a lot of good insight and he has a lot of good thought and some of the ideas that they bring to us. We either put him in or we don't, you know, but it's good to have that guy. He's also sort of a calming presence for Carson on the football field and in games. Because, again, a lot of times players, I just know this from being a player, you know, and being Brett's backup, he and I would talk a lot more on game day during games than us going to our coach, you know, because you're the guys out there playing, so you get a lot of that dialogue that way, and that's what I'm seeing with Carson and Chase on Sundays.
Obviously, you'll be inside today for practice, and you'll be in the dome. How's that silent count been working?
It's been working great. It's hard on the tackles and tight ends, obviously, because it's all based on head movement or taps or whatever procedure mechanism that we do, because we have a couple different ways that we can handle it. But I thought that this week and even leading up to the Bears game, we've handled it well, and it's kind of funny, but you could almost do the entire season in silent, even your home games, because you're so used to doing it. That when you go back to your normal cadence, it's a little weird sometimes to hear a live voice. But the guys have done a great job with it. We're able to mix a lot of different multiple snap counts, even within the silent count. So it's been good.
Do you remember if you guys took a look at Jordan Matthews when he was coming out when you were in Kansas City?
I did not. I did not personally look at Jordan.
Now that you're coaching, what you've seen out of him so far?
Probably one of the hardest working players that we have. I mean, he's in here extremely early for a wide receiver. He's constantly on the jugs machine. He's constantly talking to his quarterback. He's just making himself better every single day. And it's paying off because it's spilling over to the other guys in his room, into that wide receiver room. And that's the type of player you got to have at all positions. But for him at the receiver position, when you got a young group, it's great to see someone like Jordan step up and take everybody by charge.
You talked before about how you do your offense not as the traditional West Coast, but more of a hybrid. I was curious, where did you pick up those kind of non-traditional West Coast concepts? Who are your influences besides Andy?
Well, and Andy, he's traditional West Coast. Until, because it goes back to how we start evaluating college players in the offseason. You see a lot of spread offenses, and you see a lot of versatility in their game, and you try to go, okay, can it work at our level? And then you get players in your building, and you start talking to those players, and you start looking, and they go, hey, coach, we did this in college, or we did this wherever he was at. Alex Smith is a great example, but some of the stuff they did in San Francisco with him. And so then we just sort of adopt, and you just keep studying it and diving in. You call coaches and around the, even whether it's the college world or the NFL world, or you see them at the combine or wherever you're at, and you just pick their brain, and you get ideas that way. And then you try, for me, I just want to make sure it fits our system, fits what we're doing, fits our personnel. And if it does, then we can put some of those plays in. But try to limit the number that we do put in.
So what have you seen out of Bryce Trex in practice, and what is his skill set? What are the
things? Yeah, I mean, Bryce has got great speed and good hands. He catches the ball well. Smart kid too. He's obviously he's not getting a ton of reps, if any, with our offense right now. But at the same time, he's understanding. Running the service team and Chase giving him a route, saying, hey, run this route, he knows what to do, and he understands it, and he runs it extremely well, and he's another one that's getting better each week with what we're doing, and it's just unfortunate that we're carrying four right now each week, but he's definitely proven to maybe one day, be part of the mix, but right now he's the inactive usually every week.
Take two more guys.
What have you seen from Malcolm Jenkins as far as being a leader? I mean, I know there was a lot made about the whole anthem protest, but both how he leads on the team as well as on.
I just think Malcolm. I mean, he is a tremendous leader of this football team, and I watch him every single day and see how he interacts with his guys, and And he's obviously very spirited at practice and vocal and getting his guys going. And that's what you got to have. I mean, he's back there. He's, you know, he and Rodney, you know, two safeties back there that communicate quite a bit. And he understands that role. I mean, he's part of that whole process on defense. And he's done a nice job there. And it's definitely carried over even to games.
Think Ryan Matthews is with his ankle. Do you think he'll be less hindered than he was these last few games?
He will be. He's actually feeling pretty good. He's had a great week of practice. You know, today indoors will obviously be a test for him, but he's feeling good and looking forward to, you know, not having any setbacks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.